This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, our attention turns to active shooter situations in the workplace. It's an issue that was front and center last December when a San Bernardino County Health Department employee and his wife turned an office holiday party into a massacre that killed 14 people and injured 22. So is there anything an employer can do to prevent or at least mitigate a tragedy like that before it's too late? And what about employees and HR? To get to the bottom of those questions and more, we're joined by Matt Dougherty, a former Secret Service agent, now with Hillard Heinz, a leading security risk management company. Matt is a thought leader in workplace violence prevention and active shooter planning, and he speaks frequently on these issues. He's received numerous awards, including a commendation for the Oklahoma City bombing investigation and an award from the Homeland Security Department for exceptional service. Matt, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Matt, let's start right there with San Bernardino. As someone who works on workplace security issues, was there anything at all that the employer or HR could possibly have done differently to prevent that tragedy?
This is a new phenomenon, radicalization in the workplace, that would lead to violent extremism. I would hope that HR has the proper tools in place, such as recurring background screening, warning signs of behavior, whether they're victims of domestic violence. Those issues that a security director is constantly concerned with, I would hope those are in place with HR. But I must emphasize, this radical violent extremism in the workplace is a new phenomenon, and we can talk about that on the differences between radical ideas and violent extremism.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Is that something that you're seeing more of, or was this a bit of a one-off? What's your take?
The future state of HR is going to have to be dealing with this issue about violent extremism or the potential for violent extremism in the workplace. And it's very important. HR obviously protects the rights of the employee, their constitutionally mandated rights as citizens of this country. And there's the development of radical ideas. If someone has radical ideas and it's in the eyes of the beholder what a radical idea is, that is a constitutionally protected right for a free viewpoint. What's coming down the horizon for HR is warning signs of behavior for violent extremism. That is quite a new phenomenon.
We often hear after these situations that no one could have imagined that the shooter could have done such a thing. But you've written that it's really rare that an employee will just snap and become violent without warning signs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. In almost every instance of targeted violence, and by targeted violence where a known assailant conducts an attack, it has very rarely been a sudden impulsive act. I think the instantaneous reporting of the media may lead one to believe that these are impulsive acts, but we've all seen that where the initial report is, I don't know what happened, the person just snapped. That's simply not the case. By and large, the vast majority of these cases, the planning, communications to others, the behaviors concerned others, these were planned well in advance. There's really no such thing as an impulsive act. But I must emphasize, that's the good news, because if these were impulsive, unplanned acts, no one could prevent these. But these are planned in advance, and there have been warning signs of behavior in almost every single instance.
Well, it's tough to truly simulate these types of situations 100%. In your experience, can active shooter drills at least reduce an employer's risk? And if so, what makes them effective?
What makes active shooter drills effective is that these acts don't happen randomly in that workplace. Very rarely does somebody walk down the street and enter and randomly pick a workplace. Active shooter drills are a necessity. We encourage active shooter drills. Our firm does conduct active shooter drills. But when we have clients call us, asking us that question, the first place we want to go to is, what are your workplace violence prevention policies do you have in place? What's the relationship between HR, security, if you have it, and legal? and, for instance, domestic violence. Just in 2014, 33% of women killed in the workplace were killed as a result of domestic abuse or showed early signs of domestic abuse. Before you do an active shooter drill, we always emphasize the workplace violence prevention policy should be in place first. Having said that, active shooter drills really do create that awareness of roles and responsibilities and what to do. That classic run, hide, fight scenario does make people more aware of your surroundings, and they're very fruitful in providing that security awareness for the employees.
Now, Matt, a company's planning, of course, is only as good as the employees executing it, even if you do have that policy. So with that said, what can employees do in helping to prevent these situations before they occur?
Well, what we know about active shooters is that in most of the cases, there were warning signs of behavior. We've seen that in the media where a coworker says, "We knew he was going to snap." The Navy Yard shooting in, I believe, 2014 in Washington, D.C., that was a known troubled employee who concerned many, many coworkers. Creating those open lines of communication, whether you're reported anonymously or to HR, your security director, your first line supervisor, that would be the first place to start in helping prevent these situations from occurring. The second would be aware of your surroundings, have a clear dialogue with security on entrance and egress out of your building. People oftentimes don't wear their access passes in a typical office scenario, or tailgating, what is known as tailgating, opening up the door for somebody. Be aware of your surroundings and really have a concern about security. Another example is terminated employees. Oftentimes, employees are terminated with dignity and respect as a best practice in most cases, but coworkers should know, the receptionist in particular should know who's been terminated and who's not. Facial recognition, casually walking into an office by an employee who may have been a longtime employee, and unbeknownst to the coworkers and facility people, that person was terminated, maybe previously in the day or a few days ago, if not weeks or months. So a lot of those security fundamentals reside in HR and security departments.
That's a great point, and I want to pick up on that. The San Bernardino situation involved a current employee, but many shootings involve disgruntled former employees. Have you seen instances where an employer, in terms of how it handled a termination, could have perhaps prevented a workplace violence incident with a bit more sensitivity?
Yes, and hindsight is 20/20. Without specific examples, there's been many cases where a termination could have been handled with great sensitivity. For instance, oftentimes you have a terminated employee who deserves to be terminated, especially if it's for disruptive behavior. That's a particular concern, performance and behavior. And oftentimes, as distasteful as it may be, in some cases, the employer may want to extend their health benefits, for instance, and give them a benefits package just to make that smooth transition out of the building. They should be escorted with dignity and respect. You may recall the TV reporter and cameraman that were killed in Roanoke on live television.
Yes.
That person was escorted out of the building by police in public. And I'm not defending his actions or condoning that tragic incident, but there are sensitive things you can do for termination. Anybody that's been terminated, that's their lowest point of self-esteem probably in their lives. And you have to treat it as such. The days of firing somebody on a Friday and thinking the problem is going to disappear on a Monday is not the right approach, as you know through your expertise in HR.
Again, we're speaking with Matt Dougherty, a former Secret Service agent and now a Senior Vice President for Security Risk Management with Hillard Heintz. Matt, of course, these situations are not by any means limited to Muslim employees. There's certainly countless other examples, and you mentioned one with the Navy Yard shooting. Is there any danger in today's climate of employees overreporting Muslim coworkers as security risks? And is that something you've encountered?
Absolutely. It is something we have encountered. And there's a whole host of issues there that you have to discern. Take the Muslim equation out of it. There is a difference. Radical ideas is in the eye of the beholder. Radical ideas are constitutionally protected in this country under the freedom of speech. The difference is to identify those behaviors which could lend to warning signs of behavior for violent extremism. Those are issues that HR will have to deal with. I do want to remind your listeners that almost on a yearly basis, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has reported that dozens of terrorist attacks have been prevented by law-abiding Muslim citizens turning in fellow Muslims who they have identified as warning signs of behavior. It's extremely important in this country not to segregate a Muslim community merely because of their constitutionally protected beliefs. They are on the front lines of identifying those people within their community that are showing signs of violent extremism. So it is a problem in the Muslim American community. I think it's a shame that they're being stigmatized in general, because if you could just Google the acts of terrorism that have been prevented by law-abiding Muslim citizens, I think it would really enlighten your listeners as to what the true issues are.
So following up on that, Matt, what can be done to better open those channels so fellow citizens, whether they be Muslim or members of other minority groups, are more comfortable coming forward regarding potential workplace threats?
That's exactly right. I think you'll find NYPD is a classic example. The New York Police Department, they have community liaison. Most police departments reflect the diversity of their communities, and if they don't, they should. And encouraging community-oriented policing, where you have collaboration between the communities and law enforcement, and encourage them to come forward without repercussion. That's critically important. Let's not forget there was the New York Times Square bomb in a vehicle, and it was a Muslim cab driver that observed that suspicious behavior and immediately reported it to the police. There's dozens of examples like that that should be reported. So fostering that environment, and it's just like the post-Columbine school shooting environment. Before, with school shootings, prior to Columbine, telling on a fellow student because you're concerned about their behavior. When you and I were in school, telling on another student was not part of the culture. Well, it is now, and look at all the school shootings, that potential school shootings that were prevented because fellow students reported their concerns to the appropriate authorities. And that's the same mindset that should be occurring within the Muslim American community and law enforcement.
Yes, that's a great point. I mean, that Times Square one that was averted was a Saturday with perfect weather, as I remember. So, you know, that it's scary to think of what that could have been.
That's exactly right.
Let's talk a little bit, Matt, about the role that HR directors can play. We've talked about employers and employees, but how about HR in terms of what they can do with workplace violence prevention?
Well, one of the things that's near and dear to my heart is, again, back to the domestic abuse. That is a private, personal issue if somebody's been a victim of domestic abuse. But creating that environment where coworkers, if they suspect their fellow worker has been the victim of domestic abuse, showing up at work late and disheveled or having a black eye, for HR to create those vehicles where either reported anonymously or coming forward. For instance, if a person has a restraining order on their ex-husband, as a best practice, the person should be encouraged to bring that restraining order to the attention of HR without punishment, without stigmatizing, and HR working very closely with their security counterparts on a protective restraining order to do a variety of best practices. For instance, maybe perhaps post a picture of the person at the security station in the office building, making sure that that protective restraining order, even though it was filed where the employee lives, make sure there's a liaison with the local police where the workplace is to ensure that restraining order is on file with the local police around the workplace. Perhaps giving the person, HR making arrangements with leadership to give that person a parking space that might be closer to security or a well-lit area. Those types of things. Termination policies. And I just can't emphasize enough, if HR does not, if the company doesn't have a security department per se, then HR should really use an outside advisor or on their own establish a good liaison with their local police department. I must say, police departments have really caught up to that preventive methodology. Each and every time I've been in a termination, I have contacted the local police. They realize that no laws have been broken. they're law-abiding citizens that are going to be terminated, but because the behaviors caused concern, they were on standby in discreet places in the parking lot to make sure that everything was okay.
What other advice would you offer employers generally that may wish to conduct a safety and security audit of their workplace prevention programs?
From a physical security perspective, a couple of things. One is background screening. Most employers will have somebody undergo a background screening upon being hired. We are firm believers in recurring background screening. There may be an instance where a long-term employee all of a sudden is displaying, has been on record, and I've had it happen, where they've been arrested and convicted for violent assaults and batteries unbeknownst to the employer. So background screening. From a physical perspective, look at your access control. Are the cards turned off upon somebody being terminated? Contractors is an ongoing issue. We all are part of a workplace where possibly lots of outsourced people are being employed. In other words, they work for another company. Make sure that that other company is well aware that you should be warned of any possible things in that person's background that could occur. Access control. Make sure that the reception area, for instance, they should have panic alarms. And where do those panic alarms go to should be determined. What is the process for the reception area? Every time I do a workplace violence needs assessment, without exception, the executive assistant or the receptionist becomes aware of volatile situations, and they should have access to CCTV cameras, to panic alarms. It should be almost a mini working security station so that the eyes and ears of the company, often residing in the executive assistant or receptionist area, they have the tools they need to alert personnel immediately that there's a potential problem. Visitor access logs. Making sure, if at all possible, that visitors are pre-screened in advance with an email. Again, a list of terminated employees, a list of do not admit people at that reception area, proper access control. Make sure no doors are propped open. Make sure there's egress out of a building. We found many times where you can't get out because the door is locked. You should have instant crash doors where you can get out. The other thing, very important, make sure you identify a room, what we call a safe room, where it's a hardened room, preferably with no windows, where you could, if in that run, hide, fight scenario, think of a place to hide, whether it be in a conference room with good locks on the doors, with telephones available. Think about where people should evacuate to if it's a shelter-in-place situation or an active shooting.
Matt, if you were to leave our audience with a final takeaway thought, what would you like it to be?
As far as active shooter, without a doubt, the vast majority of active shooters, it is not an impulsive act. Their behavior has concerned others, whether it be family, friends, or coworkers. It's very important that you become aware in the workplace. What warning signs of behavior are you looking for, and who do you report them to? Those should be established at each and every company in this country.
Okay, well, let that be the final word. Matt Dougherty is Senior Vice President for Security Risk Management with Hillard Heintz and one of the nation's leading thought leaders on workplace violence prevention and active shooter planning. Matt, thanks so much for your insights today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Continue checking our website for more podcasts on key employment topics affecting the world of HR. Recent programs have featured the Department of Labor's new overtime rules, plus paid sick leave. The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR, our subscription offering, or our 50-state employee handbook, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved.